Without question, we're living in a world that is searching for answers and to solve life's problems and challenges. And for many, when things get rough, they seem to turn more to God for help. They know about Jesus, maybe they even profess faith in Him, but only seem to seek Him out to be closer to Him when they really need Him, when they're in desperation. And I would ask you this morning to ponder over your life and your circumstances, both past and present, and reflect on this question that I want to ask this morning. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? The word enough means in or to a degree or quantity that satisfies or that is sufficient or necessary for satisfaction. Is Jesus enough really means, will Jesus satisfy what I need Him to satisfy? That's really what the question is. Today is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter. I want to encourage you to invite your friends and family to come to church with you. Many times those who may not attend church are more in consideration of attending on Easter. And we just want to just encourage you to do that. This is the beginning of what is known as Passion Week, which is the week leading up to the most powerful events in all of human history, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. I want us to look at the scripture in Luke chapter 19, verse number 28. I'm reading out of the NIV if you're looking up on an electronic version. It says this. After Jesus had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As He approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as He had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As He went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When He came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Verse 38, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," He replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and then the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." I want to look at a few of these verses and go back. Verse 30, Jesus told His disciples to go get a colt. He was giving them instructions, tied up that nobody has ever ridden. And He gave them specifics about the situation. And verse 31, He says, "And if anyone asks you," again, specific instructions about what to do. In verse 32, it says, "They obeyed the Lord, and it was just like He said." It shows His lordship and the ability that He had to know what was going to happen. And He was showing that to him. But can you imagine in verse 33 when the owner said, "What are you doing taking my donkey?" I mean, can you imagine somebody showing up and Maybe you left your keys in your car and they're coming up and opening the door to your car and you see them. It's like, hey, what are you doing? The Lord needs it. Oh, okay, that'll be all right. No, I mean, but these people understood, and I believe the power of the Holy Spirit went before and caused them to understand the importance of this and caused them to realize that it's okay. The Lord always goes before and prepares a situation. And in verse 35, it talks about how they threw their cloaks or their garments on the donkey. Palm Sunday talked about in John 12, 13, it says, that in this John's version of the story, it says, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. That's why it's really kind of referred to as Palm Sunday, because they did that. But this was a fulfillment of a prophecy from 600 years earlier in Zechariah 9:9 that says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. For him to do that was a sign of royalty. So the first question I would ask you, is Jesus enough because of what I know about him? Is Jesus enough because of what I know about him? That day the crowds were surrounding Jesus on what is called the triumphal entry. They were emotional, they were excited because this is Jesus whom they had heard about. They had witnessed performing miracles, performing signs and wonders. And the palm branches they were holding while declaring his lordship. I believe that there are those who have heard who had heard about great things that Jesus had done in the lives of others. There are some who personally witnessed and experienced his touch and also profess his lordship. But they would answer the question emphatically, yes, Jesus is enough because of what I know about him. He's enough. He's enough to satisfy what I believe he will need to satisfy in my life. I know that he can do that for me when I need him. I've seen him do things for other people. When I need him, he'll show up and he'll do something for me as well. Verse 37 says that the whole crowd of disciples joyfully praised God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. That's why they were praising the Lord, because of all the miracles that they had seen. They were captivated by the power of God. So is Jesus enough because of what I know about him? I believe they would say Jesus is enough. And the second thing would be, is Jesus enough to be my king? Is Jesus enough to be my king? And I apologize, I thought I had a slide up there that would give these points. Is Jesus enough to be my king? The laying out of the garments on the animal and on the road and waving the branches was a part of a Jewish tradition for reception of royalty. They shouted Hosanna, and in verse 38, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which is from Psalm 118, 25, and 26. You see how this story is woven together with biblical prophecy and foundation. Psalm 118 says, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. That's from Psalm 118 and 25 and 26. So from his public demonstrations of power and authority over sickness, disease, and death, they without question believe that Jesus is absolutely enough to satisfy my longing for a king. Someone who I can trust to oversee my life and protect me from danger, from my enemies. If he's powerful enough to heal the sick and raise the dead, he can do anything. Absolutely. Everything that Jesus done in his earthly ministry culminated in this week called Passion Week. The week before, he was to face the cross. He was truly the Messiah proclaimed the King by his people. So they were saying, he's enough to satisfy me because of what I know about him. He's enough to satisfy that he should be my king. And then the third question would be, is Jesus enough to give me peace? Is Jesus enough to give me peace? What the people believed that day was yes. Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the promised anointed one long ago predicted that would come. He was coming as a deliverer that would bring restoration to Israel, nationally set up his kingdom and rule the nations politically. That's what they thought. That's the kind of peace that they wanted. They wanted peace from all the turmoil that was in their region. He came to give them peace, safety, and deliverance from the Roman governmental oppression. That was what they were longing for, what they were looking for. So yes, Jesus is enough to satisfy the long overdue need for peace in our nation. Hosanna, save us now. That's really what Hosanna means. But in verse 41, the scripture tells us that he wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. The excited people did not understand the significance of what was really going on that day. In verse 42, Jesus said this, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." They were blinded and could not recognize the time of God's coming to them in verse 44. That's what Jesus said. It was hidden from them. There's a lot of people that think they know what will bring them peace. I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to back up. But here they had Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, in their midst, and they thought Jesus would be enough for them, that he would satisfy them. This prophetic day when the people shouted, "Hosanna," or "Save now," was a public demonstration that yes, Jesus is enough. He's the one we want. He's the one that will satisfy all my needs, all the criteria that I have. He checks all the boxes. They just went right down through it. What they knew about Jesus and his miracles was wonderful. I need that kind of power when I need a miracle. They wanted a king to oversee and protect us from danger, from those that would do me harm. That's what they thought. And then they wanted a peacekeeper who would keep them from being oppressed. Who wouldn't want all of those things? For those that day, yes, Jesus was enough as long as he fit into the confinements of the box that they had put him in. The expectation that they have was completely different from what Jesus was giving. And it's not so different from our world today. There are those today who believe that Jesus is enough because of what I know about him. He's great and does great stuff for people. When I need him, he'll help me out. But until I need him, I'm just going to kind of leave him over here. He's enough for me. And they want to call on him when they need him, when they're in desperation. Those same people recognize Jesus as king, ruler of the universe in general, and able to add some benefits to my life. It may be just a step up from, well, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. They believe that he is a king over the universe, but not really giving him much thought beyond that. They also believe that Jesus can bring peace to a situation. If he can do that, then great. We need a little more peace. We need a little more love. We need a little more kumbaya in our world. When there's bickering and fighting going on in the world, it's okay. Call on Jesus. Call the preacher, call the priest, and let them ask Jesus to bring peace into the atmosphere. You know, calm people down a little bit. If there's ever a time people needed to calm down a little bit, it's been today. All you have to do is just kind of go into social media. And I gotta just tell you, I don't go there as often as I once did. It's just not worth it. If I go there, I go there with a purpose. And I've had some people, and I realize we're sharing, we're live streaming on our Facebook page right now. And I realize that to some, that is a lifeline to spiritual content. And social media is not good or bad. It's technology. It's how it's used. And I've heard some people say, well, I'm going to unfriend them because I don't like what they see. How many know that it's a two-way street? That if you see what they put out, then they're going to see what you put out. And when you choose to put out positive, godly things, then it's going to scroll past them as well. And it's powerful. It's an opportunity for you to be able to witness and to share the good news. Do you get the mindset of those people who would shout Hosanna or save now? We need help on all these external things that are going on. Jesus is enough to deal with all the stuff that we're going through. And we'll let him do that because he checks all the boxes. But as long as he stays in his lane, I'm over here doing my thing. When I need Jesus, I'll get over here in the Jesus lane. And I'll just let him do what he needs to do. And then I'll go back over here. There are many people who say they believe in God. There are many people who have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They've been touched on the inside, but they've still not accepted him as Lord and Savior. They fail to recognize the time of God's coming through Jesus Christ and the significance that goes beyond what just is external. Just as Jesus wept that day over Jerusalem because they should have known, but they did not recognize the time of his coming. I can just imagine him now weeping over the lost that still refuse to recognize the time of his coming. You can't go very far anywhere in this country without seeing a church somewhere. And this nation and this city, this state used to be filled with churches that would proclaim the true and accurate word of God. They would not accept a false gospel and narrative that strayed away from the true word of God. Jesus is still the good news. He's still the good news. But God will never be what human nature wants him to be. He will always be who the Bible says that he is. Who he is right here written in the pages of the Bible. Who he is lived through us when we allow him. So the question I ask you, is Jesus enough for you? Is Jesus enough for you? Is Jesus enough because of what you know about him? What do you know about him? Do you really know him? Do you really know him? How have you longed after him to get to know him better? Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Why do you suppose it was that we praise the Lord and we sing praises to the King of Kings and we proclaim that he is the King of Kings? And it's okay to get excited about it. Can I tell you that if you read your Bible, when there were instances of people worshiping the Lord, they weren't quiet. They weren't still. They weren't motionless. They weren't dead. They were alive. They were enthusiastic because it was a requirement for them to extend praise to the King of Kings because of who he is. Because of who he is. How well do we know Jesus? Is Jesus enough to be your king? Not just the ruler of the universe or the Son of God that sits up in heaven, and he is that, but the ruler of your life in every way. You see, as humans, we like to compartmentalize. We like to say, well, I'll let Jesus be Lord on Sundays when I go to church. And then I'll think about him when I'm at church. The song we sang a while ago, when I think about the Lord. We say, well, this little area of my life doesn't really have anything to do with church or God, so I'm going to just kind of exempt that one from the influence of the king. You see, we really, in this country, don't have an example, and many countries do not have an example of what a true king really is. But it's in the pages of your Bible, and you can read. A king's word was it. It. When the king said it, it was carried out. It was fulfilled. There was no discussion. That was it. And the word of God is filled with the words of Jesus, our king. And he says, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. If you love me, then you will do what I say. But yet, how can we recognize him as the true king if we're not really willing to live and do what he says to do? Oh, I love God, but I'll love him on Sunday, and I'll do what I please the rest of the week. He's not the king if you're living that way. He's not the king. The king says, really, I love you so much and you should love me so much. Matter of fact, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, your strength, and everything within you. That's the first and greatest commandment Jesus said. To love the Lord your God. Meaning that that's the most important thing in all of the book, is to love the Lord your God. Amen. Our mission statement of our church says loving God. That's first. First. That is the most important thing. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. But sometimes we try to get it reversed and we don't put everything we have into loving the Lord and allowing Him to be king. And what happens is we're not prepared to deal with our neighbor unless we have the influence of the king. We're not prepared really fully to deal with all the emotional highs and lows that may come with dealing with the people that are in this world, our neighbor, so to speak, those who we interact with on a daily basis. We're not really fully prepared. And when something comes our way, if we don't have the nature of Christ, then the human nature is going to come up and going to do something that may not be appropriate or may not be pleasing to the Lord. So is Jesus enough to be your king? Then is Jesus enough to give you peace? Not just a peaceful atmosphere. Shut up! I just want to have some quiet! No, that's not what we're talking about. Although it'd be easy when you're in the position of authority in the home. Didn't you hear me tell you to be quiet? My grandmother said that when my two uncles were young, they used to, they would bicker a little bit, you know, brothers. And she said, they weren't allowed to fight as long as they were around me. And I told them. And they didn't fuss at each other because she didn't allow it. So it just probably meant they did it when she wasn't around. Not just a peaceful atmosphere, but a true internal peace that goes beyond anything that can be explained or understood. He gives us peace beyond understanding. One scripture calls him the Prince of Peace. I would submit to you today, and hear me closely, that Jesus is not enough, but he is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. It means to the greatest degree possible. Jesus is more than enough. I want to go back to the peace thing for just a moment. I kind of thought about this when I was preparing this message, but I didn't put it in my notes, but I feel like I would like to share it. How many know the story of David and Saul? And Goliath and all of that. And Saul was a king, the first king of Israel. And Saul was disobedient to what the prophet told him the word of the Lord was. And because of his disobedience and his really refusal to repent, he went down a pathway that was very dark. And before, he would have an evil spirit that would torment him. And they said, well, we know this boy named David who plays the harp. And we can bring him in. And they brought David in, and David would play the harp, and Saul would feel better. What he should have done was gone to the Lord, got down on his face before God and say, I repent, I've done wrong. What do I need to do to be right with God? But what he chose to do was to have David come in and play the harp. And then his spirit would feel comforted. I don't know why I feel like saying this, but I just sense this. There are some who would like to be around the people of God. They would like to come to church. They would like to pray. but only to the point where it makes them feel better. I need peace, but I don't want to change anything here. I want the encouragement, but I don't want to change. And hear me. What happens is there's a cycle that goes on. And that person seems to be in church and out of church, in fellowship with God and out of fellowship with God. This can be even people that are professing Christians that when things go wrong and whenever they have this turmoil going on inside, they'll flock to the people of God. They'll flock to the Word of God. I need help. And then they'll withdraw when things get a little better. As long as I can feel better. That's like going to the doctor when only something is wrong. How many? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I will tell you, and your doctor will tell you, that you need to go to the doctor when everything is right every once in a while. You need to go to the doctor when everything is right, just because there may be something that you don't know that he discovers. Now, how many know that when things are right, when you feel like things are right, when you feel the peace, that's not the time to let up. It's the time to go full force in your relationship with the Lord, because just think. You see, there are people that live in crisis situations and they live in this turmoil all the time, and they get better and then they go back and then they get in turmoil and they get better and then they go back in turmoil, and it's a back and forth and back and forth, and they never get to do what God's plan is in their life because they're always dealing with themselves. But when you get past the place of saying, you know, there's things that I'm not going to be able to fix or handle on my own, and I'm going to deliver those up to you, Lord, and I'm going to strive to be closer to you. I'm going to strive to make sure that you are more than enough in my life. You're more than enough to handle all the problems, all the situations, all the difficulties. Now, what's next that you want me to do? I find it interesting whenever, you know, there's people that need instruction, and there's people that don't need instruction as far as in natural things. When they have the knowledge of what to do, there's some people that don't have the knowledge and they need instruction. There's some people that have the knowledge, but they still need instruction. And there's some people that have the knowledge and don't need instruction. There's some people that don't have the knowledge and don't think they need instruction. Now, come on, whenever I said that, there's people popped in your mind, wasn't there? How many know that, you know, when you're all pitching in together and we're going to clean this up and get this done and all this, and you just, and by the way, thank you to those who served at John 3:16 dinner last night. We had an awesome time, and it was great. It's like you're looking for the next thing to do. When it's settled in here, and it's like, maybe I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to find out. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Because he wants you to do something. When Jesus is more than enough in your life, he takes care of everything else. And then he says, I have a plan for you, and I have actions that I want you to do, and I want you to fulfill. And it will involve propagating the good news of Jesus Christ into somebody else's life in some measure. Jesus is more than enough, and I want to know him more and learn more about him. I want him to be my king of everything. I want him to be the peace that I can sense at every turn. Our world today must hear the message that Jesus is enough, and he is more than enough. Him alone, without anything else. Recognize the time right now. I believe that Jesus is calling you. Just as those that praised and cried out, Hosanna, or saved now, let Jesus hear the cry of your heart and said, Lord, I need you. Lord, save me now. I'm not necessarily, if you need a Savior, and we all need a Savior. But if you haven't turned your life over to Jesus Christ, that prayer is, Lord, save me from the sin and all the things that are holding me back in you. And it can be, save me, Lord, from all the mindset of the things that have gone on, because I want to go further in you because you are more. Let Jesus hear that heart's cry. Now is the time to surrender. Jesus is more than enough. He is more than enough. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, God, because you are more than enough. I thank you, Lord, for this story of compassion, the story of your example and those truths that we have, Lord, to know that you are our King. You're our Savior. Lord, and we strive to know more about you. We love you, Jesus, with all of our heart, all of our strength, soul, mind, and body. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.